visit, in the company of Leopold Pfefferberg, to locations that prominently figure in the book. Krakow, Oscar's adopted city. Płaszów, the scene of Armand Goetz's foul labor camp. Lipowa Street, Zabłocie, where Oscar's factory still stands. Auschwitz-Birkenau, from which Oscar extracted his women prisoners. But the narration depends also on documentary and other information, supplied by those few wartime associates of Oscar's who can still be reached, as well as by the large body of his post-war friends. Many of the plentiful testimonies regarding Oscar deposited by Schindler Jews at Yad Vashem, the Martyrs and Heroes Remembrance Authority, further enriched the record, as did written testimonies from private sources and a body of Schindler papers and letters, some supplied by Yad Vashem, some by Oscar's friends. To use the texture and devices of a novel to tell a true story is a course that has frequently been followed in modern writing. It is the one I choose to follow here, both because the novelist's craft is the only one I can lay claim to, and because the novel's techniques seem suited for a character of such ambiguity and magnitude as Oscar. I have attempted, however, to avoid all fiction, since fiction would debase the record, and to distinguish between reality and the myths which are likely to attach themselves to a man of Oscar's stature. It has sometimes been necessary to make reasonable constructs of conversations of which Oscar and others have left only the briefest record. But most exchanges and conversations, and all events, are based on the detailed recollections of the Schindlerjuden, Schindler Jews, of Schindler himself, and of other witnesses to Oscar's acts of outrageous rescue. I would like to thank first three Schindler survivors: Leopold Pfefferberg, Justice Moshe Beisky of the Israeli Supreme Court, and Mieczyslav Pemper, who not only passed on their memories of Oscar to the author and gave him certain documents which have contributed to the accuracy of the narrative, but also read the early draft of the book and suggested corrections. Many others, whether Schindler survivors or Oscar's post-war associates, gave interviews and generously contributed information through letters and documents. These include Frau Emilia Schindler, Mrs. Ludmilla Pfefferberg, Dr. Sophia Stern, Mrs. Helen Horowitz, Dr. Jonas Dresner, Mr. and Mrs. Henry and Mariana Rosner, Leopold Rosner, Dr. Alex Rosner, Dr. Idek Schindl, Dr. Danuta Schindl, Mrs. Regina Horowitz, Mrs. Bronislava Karakulska, Mr. Richard Horowitz, Mr. Shmuel Springmann, the late Mr. Jakob Sternberg, Mr. Jerzy Sternberg, Mr. and Mrs. Louis Fagen, Mr. Henry Kinstlinger, Mrs. Rebecca Bau, Mr. Edward Heuberger, Mr. and Mrs. M. Hirschfeld, Mr. and Mrs. Irving Glovin, and many others. In my home city, Mr. and Mrs. E. Korn not only gave of their memories of Oscar, but were a constant support. At Yad Vashem, Dr. Josef Kermisch, Dr. Shmuel Krakowski, Vera Prausnitz, Chana Abels, and Hadassa Mödlinger provided generous access to the testimonies of Schindler survivors and to video and photographic material. Lastly, I would like to honor the efforts which the late Mr. Martin Gosch expended on bringing the name of Oscar Schindler to the world's notice, and to signify my thanks to his widow, Mrs. Lucille Gaines, for her cooperation with this project. Through the assistance of all these people, Oscar Schindler's astonishing history appears for the first time in extended form. Tom Keneally. Prologue. Autumn 1943. In Poland's deepest autumn, a tall young man in an expensive overcoat, double-breasted dinner jacket beneath it, and, in the lapel of the dinner jacket, a large ornamental gold-on-black enamel Hakenkreuz, swastika, emerged from a fashionable apartment building in Straszewskiego Street, on the edge of the ancient center of Krakow, and saw his chauffeur waiting with fuming breath by the open door of an enormous, and even in this blackened world, lustrous Adler limousine. "Watch the pavement, Herr Schindler," said the chauffeur. "It's as..."